Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
The PS and I today apologise to the hooded men over their treatment under interrogation in 1971. The 14 men were arrested during internment without trial 52 years ago and questioned by both the British Army and the police. The hooded men have campaigned for justice for decades because during interrogation at Ballykelly Army Base in Derry, the men were hooded, they were beaten, deprived of sleep, deprived of food and water. They were forced to stand in the stress position for periods. 2 years ago, the UK Supreme Court ruled that the techniques they were subjected to would be characterised as torture by today's standards. Only yesterday, one of the men, Joe Clark, died at the age of 71, having received the PSNI apology literally on his deathbed. I'm joined now by Jim Auld, one of the hooded men, for his reaction to the death of Joe Clark and also to the apology by the PSNI. Jim, you're very welcome to the programme. And can I first offer you my condolences on the passing of your good friend Joe Clark?
Thanks very much for that. Joe was the youngest of the 12 of us that went through that experience. I was next to Joe. We grew up together in the same area, and Joe was a close friend all my life.
And little did you realise, Jim, when you were growing up together and playing together, what would happen to both of you and the other men who are known as the hooded men now. And this apology then, over 50 years later from the PSNI, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I have it in front of me and it's seven lines. And the first line is, the Police Service for Northern Ireland acknowledges the findings of the United Kingdom's Supreme Court. I would think that it would be extremely difficult for any police service not to acknowledge the findings of their Supreme Court. So I don't give this apology much room at all.
No. And the wording they used, Jim, they said that the PSNI, in the form of the apology, they said they apologise for the actions and omissions of police yes. officers involved in their yeah. treatment whilst yeah. in police custody
including,
in 1971.
Including some police officers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about minimising the police's role within that torture chamber. I think that one of the most important things to remember is that the behaviours of the army and the police were sanctioned by the British government. They were authorised by the British government. They were paid for by the British government. They were allowed to take place by the British government. And they are the people that need to apologise.
And they haven't apologised.
And they haven't apologised.
We'll come back to that, Jim, in just a second, I promise. But I just want to know, well, I want to know how you received the apology, but can I first ask you about how Joe Clark, who I believe really wanted an apology from the police, but how
yes.
he received the apology?
Well, I don't know. Joe has been very ill for a considerable length of time now and has been in bed for this past 3 or 4 weeks. And has been going downhill. I didn't get a chance to get in and see him because he was so ill.
Yeah.
But my understanding is that somebody from the police went to his home and hand delivered it to Joe in front of his wife.
And apparently, according to reports in the BBC, that the letter was put on his chest and he tapped it and said, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very emotional time. I'm sure it was a very emotional time for him because Joe had campaigned for an apology. But Joe also wanted an apology from the British government. This is a stopgap thing that I don't think anybody's particularly impressed with.
Over 50 years is a long time to be campaigning for justice and an apology. Can you remind people, if you can, Jim, of the torture that you suffered?
Yeah, I was at that stage. I was a 20-year-old, and I was the same as any other 20-year-old young fellow.
Yeah.
I was out partying. I was out looking for girls. And I'd been to a party and got a girl, left her home, and I came to my own. I walked up the street to my own front door, and soldiers appeared all around the place. And I was arrested and taken to North Belfast over to an army base over there, where I was tied by handcuffs to a cot on the floor. And five or six British soldiers and a cop, now you see man, proceeded to beat me. And that was all around the genitals because I couldn't defend myself until I threw up. I was sick all around the place. And eventually one of them gave me a cigarette, released me, gave me a cigarette and said, "Here, you poor bee, you'll need that." I was then taken out and into a field where there was about 25, 30 soldiers, and they had all batons and lumps of wood and dogs, and I had to run through them in a gauntlet. And they beat the crap out of me again. That was me into Crumlin Road Prison. And I had that to repeat that when they were bringing me back to take me away for the interrogation, which was they put the hood on and took me into a helicopter, and the helicopter took off and landed after about 30 minutes. I was taken out of the helicopter by being kicked out when I thought the helicopter was in the air. And I got a half a scream out of me whenever I hit the ground. I was immediately lifted by arms on both sides of me and raced down a grass field. I had the hood on, remember, and I was ran straight into a concrete lamppost, I assumed it was. That was the start of me going against the wall. I had been stripped and put into a boiler suit, and that boiler suit was on for 7 days, 7 nights. No toilet breaks, no coffee breaks. I was standing against the wall, and every time I moved a finger, there was two people behind me beating me. They didn't stop beating me. And the only relief I got is whenever I fell on the ground and the blood got a chance to circulate around my body again. The batons, the wooden batons they were hitting me with, felt like rubber, and it was great because I got relief because it sent blood to my body parts. It got to the stage where I honestly believed that the British government could not let me out alive and that they were going to kill me. So rather than stand there and take it anymore, I'm sure anybody of an age remembers the old buildings with the old heating pipes around the bottom of the wall.
Yeah.
And it was the same in this building. There was an old pipe along the bottom of the wall. I jumped down onto that to try and break my neck, to kill myself. And when I didn't kill myself, the two, I'm assuming, people that were there, they started beating me because they knew what I'd been trying to do. And I was screaming and crying because, not because they were beating me, but because I didn't die.
My God. How long did that go on for, Jim? How long was that?
That went on for 7 days and 7 nights. And it didn't stop at all. I was, at one stage, I was hallucinating after being given a drink of water. The drink of water, I may say, I was pulled off the wall and sat on the floor. The hood was taken up to the bottom of my nose, and a tin cup was pressed into my mouth. And I got two sips of water, and that was it. And I was I was put against the wall and I started hallucinating, and I thought that I was looking out a ship window and somebody was standing on my left foot. And it was only whenever I got into Crumlin Road jail that I realized that I had no nails on my left foot. Every nail on my foot had been smashed off with this guy, whoever it was, that was standing on my foot. There was a noise in the room that they called the music room that stopped you from thinking. You couldn't think. And we all did the same thing, started trying to spell words, trying to count, trying to do tables. And after a while, you couldn't even tell your own name. The whole thing was designed, and it was specifically designed by people who were psychiatrists. And it was designed to break you mentally and physically.
Did it?
It did, yes, it did. And it is, I still suffer from the side effects of it, because I still waking up at night, I'm sitting here at the minute with a sweat running down my face. I waking up at night, I'm terrified. I wake and I have all sorts of bad dreams about it. It's always fresh in my head, no matter where I go or what I'm doing, it's there.
You still get nightmares, Jim?
Oh, very, very regular. If a blanket or a duvet goes up over my face in the bed at night, I would wake in a panic.
Would you? And does anything else in everyday life trigger any traumatic experiences?
Yeah, if I see a cop coming near my place where I live, I would be. Very, very nervous.
Yeah.
But my biggest problem is, I'm happy to tell people what I went through, but I won't tell people realistically the details of how it affected me, because even though I'm telling you light stuff about how it affected me, but the detail of that means that I would be telling those torturers how to improve those techniques, because those same techniques are being used by Britain and America today.
Can I ask?
And
you
I
this?
Won't give them that information.
I understand. I understand exactly the point that you're making, and the way you describe it, and you say this is the light stuff. Is absolutely shuddering to the soul to listen to. And can I ask you, when they said, and when Cord said, that it wasn't torture, that must have been extremely difficult to hear.
It was infuriating. And all I would say to anybody that says that it's not torture, give me a half an hour. And I'd quite happily show them that in a very short period of time that they will accept it as torture.
Yeah.
I remember many, many years ago on the BBC, there was a television show called The Burke Special. Burke was a journalist.
Yeah.
And he brought on a box that had the noise in it, and he blindfolded members of the audience. And put them in the stress position. And he got three or four people to do this. And the longest that anybody stayed on it, and remember, they could walk out at any time, the longest that anybody stayed on it was 2 minutes.
And you were on it for much, much longer, as
seven,
you described.
7 days and 7 nights.
Come here to me, Jim. As we said at the start, can I ask you finally that the UK government never apologised? And by the way, nobody was ever held accountable for any of this.
That's right.
But can I ask you finally, this apology today is from the PSNI, the police. You want an apology from the UK government, do you?
I want a recognition from the British government that they tortured me. That's the start, and there needs to be some sort of regulation in place that torture is not acceptable for human beings to suffer.
Jim Auld, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. And can I extend to you yet again my condolences on the passing of your friend Joe Clark. Jim, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.